Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Berge, a pitch away from his 20th victory. He got it. That's it. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Seven strikeouts for Fergie. There's number 20 of the year for the sixth consecutive year. The famous Cy Young Award winner of the Chicago Cubs has won 20 games, and he'll win more. Beautiful work. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left. And look at the handshakes all around from his teammates for Ferguson Jenkins, who for the 22nd time in his career has beaten the Philadelphia Phillies.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're delighted to welcome Fergie Jenkins into the studio. Cy Young winner. I mean, my God, famous Cub. And you got a new book out. And the book is The 1969 Cubs, Long Remembered, Never Forgotten. And certainly there'll be no forgetting you this weekend. Everybody will be coming in looking for your autograph.
Definitely. Morning, Fergie. 50 years. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, you know, it goes by pretty quick. When George Castle and I talked about it, I said, holy smokes, it's been 50. He said,
so what happened?
We started, what happened? We got older. I lost my hair. My kids are all grown and gone. Yeah.
And Fergie will be signing at the Cubs convention all weekend. He's signing Saturday night at Harry Carey's restaurant, River North, from 6 to 8, and you can order the book by phone at 1-844-FERGIE-1. That's 1-844-337-4431. Or you can just go to the website, www.1969cubs.com.
Beautiful.
Do you like the fan convention? It must feel pretty good to have everybody coming after you.
I enjoy coming back.
Yeah.
I mean, the fans are all different ages. You see grandfathers, husbands, wives that are basically bringing their kids in to be Cub fans. And there's going to be a lot of people in the Sheraton Hotel for sure.
Have you seen how dramatic has the change been in the fan base since the 2016 World Series? I mean, because there's always been this sense of, you know, people say, well, my life is going to be satisfied if the Cubs just win a World Series. Well, you know what? They won a World Series, but there's still an element of Cub fan, the fan base that is not satisfied.
They've been in the playoffs the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Which has been a good, but they got outplayed last year by Milwaukee, as you know. And they need to strengthen their pitching, both front end and back end. That's starting pitching and also in the bullpen. And I think that they've got the defense and the hitting that can get them right back to that division again.
Fergie, you literally wrote the book on it. What when you look back on your time in Chicago and you look at what went on in 69 and you look at the Cubs now, the field hasn't really changed. Everything around it has changed, but there are still some elements that a pitcher has to know about Wrigley Field. What are they?
Well, there's the wind factor. The ballpark is somewhat smaller now. They brought down the left and right field line. They put in three or four sections of seats, so you can't catch foul balls anymore.
Mm.
And you couldn't catch down the lines anyhow out towards the outfield. But now they've closed in some of the seating area. There's no bullpen. They put seats there. Other than that, as a pitcher, hitter to hitter, inning to inning, you have to understand you can't lose track of what you're trying to accomplish. And that's to get ahead of the hitter, make them hit the ball. Or if you're that good a pitcher, you can strike people out too. But I think the nice thing about it is that you got to pitch sometimes a contact. There's some ball clubs you're going to overpower too. But the biggest thing is you have to know the hitters. And you and the catcher work so closely together that he understands what you're trying to accomplish and the players that play behind you. Glenn Beckard, Kessinger, Sano, Banks, the guys that were in the infield for me, they did a great job. And Randy Hundley.
So we just talked to the Cubs' new 37-year-old pitching coach, Tommy Hotovy, and he's going to be inheriting a veteran staff that has guys who two of them are only 2 years younger than he is. If you run into him this weekend at the Cubs convention, what advice would you give the young pitching coach for the Cubs?
Well, the biggest thing is you want to listen to what they're trying to accomplish too. But he's got an idea. He's going to have a young staff. He might even see players coming up from AA or AAA. So he knows their mannerisms. He knows their habits, which is a good thing. But a young pitching coach, it can be shocking sometimes to understand that Wrigley Field is unforgiving. Believe me. You might have a secure lead by the seventh inning, and then boom, a walk, a double, a home run. Now the game's tied. And it can happen quick. I've seen it done before because of the fact that the ballpark is small and you can't afford to give up that extra base hit. You can't afford to walk people.
Who were your favorite teammates and why?
Well, I roomed with Ernie Banks the last series he played. What a super guy. Never talked about himself. Always what we can do to help the ball club. Billy Williams, we hunted and fished together. Ron Santo. Glenn Beckert was my best man at my wedding.
Wow.
I've known Glenn Beckert over almost 55 years. We met in the minor leagues. When he was playing triple A, I think it was in, I'm trying to think of the city. I was in Arkansas at the time, and he was in AAA for the Red Sox. But Glenn and I were still buddies. He won't make it right now. He's having a little bit of a problem. He lives in Florida. But so many of the guys, Kessinger, because we become a family after a while.
Sure.
Randy Hundley and I caught most in one games together. Spanky, Al Spangler. We've lost 16 players off that 69 ball club. You know, the last two fellas that unfortunately won't be with us, Jim Hickman and Bill Hands. And that 69 team, Bill Hands won 20 games. Hmm. So there were some guys that, Kenny Holzman too, he lives in St. Louis. But guys, we played together, we won together. And unfortunately, the Mets were a little stronger that last 3.5-4 weeks.
As you wrote the book, The 1969 Cubs, Long Remembered, Never Forgotten, what was your favorite part about either researching it or talking to people? What will stand out as the most fun of that process?
Well, opening day when Willie Smith hit the home run, we were playing the Phillies. I had a 5-2 lead, and I walked a guy, and then I gave up a hit to Cookie Rojas. Huh. And Don Money hit a 3-run homer that went into the bleachers. Tied the ball game. Phil Regan came in, and then Phil Regan got the win when Willie Smith hit the home run. But, you know, and then playing through the All-Star break, that team stayed. We stayed in first place almost 5.5 months.
And then the miracle.
It was fun
Mets.
Coming to the park, believe me.
Oh, I mean, it was unbelievable. And then, you know, there's the Black Cat and the Miracle Mets.
Yeah,
that
was in August.
Do you believe when you look at it that it was baseball and sunshine? It was that you got worn out by playing so many day games?
You know, I try to let people know in the book that day baseball didn't hurt us. What happened is that last 3 weeks, as I was saying, we got plenty of hits. We didn't score runs. We lose 3-2, 2-1, 1-0. We got outplayed sometimes. Our defense was a little shaky. But other than that, the players went out there every day to play. And we had a great skipper, Leo DeRocher.
Sure.
He wasn't changing the lineup. You know, it started with Kessinger, Beckert, Williams, Santo, Banks, all the way down, Hickman, and then Hundley. But we had a great defensive ball club, but we were a little bit, like I said, shaky. Two of the best clutch hitters on the team were Williams and Hickman. And we got hits, just didn't score enough runs.
When you're around Wrigley Field, whether it's inside the ballpark or certainly around the neighborhood, it's changed so much. Oh, what goes through your head? I mean, obviously there's an element of nostalgia, but so much is different than it used to be.
Well, there's older buildings, service stations. Now it's Wrigleyville. Now there are bars, clothing stores. I mean, the brand hotel there
The
landscape has totally changed.
Yeah.
I've been in the locker room like three times. It's
unbelievable.
30,000 square feet.
You don't want to leave,
cafeteria,
do you?
They have a theater. Yeah. I mean, it's a great clubhouse. I mean, young players really should understand that what the ball club is doing for you is something excellent, which is something that these young guys, I don't think they really grasp it sometimes, but we didn't have a clubhouse like that. We had one room and a shower room. That was it. And two, and we had six nozzles that only three worked. Our clubhouse, now the ground crew have our area that we were in. But, I mean, it's a real small area. The Bears used to dress in our dressing room.
Oh, I know.
They played in Wrigley Field. Now, how can 45 guys have a tough time dressing?
Do you know, Doug Buffone used to tell us that they would play Green Bay and George Halas would be screaming at the players and then he'd stop and then you could hear Lombardi screaming at his players, then he'd stop and then George would go again. They couldn't talk to their players when the other guy was talking because there was too much racket. I mean, yeah, think about really. That.
It was a small area. You know, I tell a story all the time. In Wrigley Field, the bullpen is down the left field line. You can actually, I had rabbit ears. You can actually hear that phone ring when they got to get the bullpen up because they would tell whoever the pitching coach was at the time. It could have been Robin Roberts or Joe Becker. They'd phone down. You could actually hear that bullpen phone ring. I said, not time to just gear it up a little bit. A little more, baby. Because I don't want the bullpen to come in.
Exactly.
And now you can't hear it ring.
And now you can't even see them warming up anymore.
No, they got TVs in the dugout, TVs in the bullpen.
They're dancing back there.
Oh, yeah. The guys hit home runs, they're dancing, jumping around. But it's all changed now. Baseball, I mean, it's for the good.
What do you make of the trend toward bullpenning and using guys? You see it in the postseason. Extreme examples, you start game with relief pitchers, and then guys go to them after one batter or two innings. What do you think of that trend?
Well, there's sometimes the starting pitcher maybe has a problem in the first inning. So now you're putting the bullpen out there, a guy that can get people out quick, and then it changes. But, the Oakland started that. Tony La Russa, he pitched three relief pitchers, and they threw a no-hitter. This is like 10, 12 years ago when he was in Oakland. He used Raleigh Fingers and a couple other guys. They threw a 9-inning no-hitter. Three guys out of the bullpen. Three innings apiece. But it the game, to me, if you understand it good enough, especially management, you got to give credit to the starting pitcher. That's his job. Go out there, secure the team, try to give up as few runs as possible in six or seven innings. Because you only throw 100 pitches now, or less. Your day's done. And then you put it in line with the bullpen. When I joined the ball club, the Phillies, in the 60s, four starters, five in the bullpen. Now you got nine guys in the bullpen.
Right.
And five starters.
It's fascinating to me, Fergie, when you talk about pitchers, obviously, there are injuries, there are concerns you have to get over. But mentally, we've seen guys that have kind of melted down for whatever reason. How do you balance – how do you stay physically – capable of doing your job and mentally strong enough to get through it? Because that's self-doubt is a killer, and we saw a little bit of it last year.
Sure. You got to be short-memoried.
Yeah.
Hey, you give up hits, home runs, it's over. The inning's over. Hey, start clean again. I mean, if you give up runs, now you're waiting for your team to go out there and try to tie the ball game up. But short-memoried was something that I was taught by Robin Roberts. You can't dwell on that last inning, that last hitter. You got to stay positive because – you're trying to win a ball game, and it takes nine innings to win a ball game. That's why I said, if you got a lead going into the seventh or eighth inning, and I completed quite a few ball games in Wrigley Field, you can't let the game get away from you. And I think the young pitchers, they learn that. Wrigley Field is a ballpark that's unforgiving. When you make the mistakes, you get punished.
Is your next book going to be on the your time with the Harlem Globetrotters?
Yeah. Oh, I can write a book on them. How much fun was that?
Three seasons?
Wow.
67, 8, and 9 with Meadowlark, Curly, Jackie Jackson, Showboat Hall, Geese Osby. You name the guys, Leon Hilliard. I played with them all. These guys were incredible entertainers, plus great basketball players.
Fergie, you look like you could still hoop.
Yeah, you look pretty good, Fergie.
From time to time, I'll get out and bounce a ball. But other than that, can't jump anymore. Too old now.
Well, you look great for yourself. Fergie, thanks a ton. Really appreciate you coming
in.
And again, the name of the book is The 1969 Cubs, Long Remembered, Never Forgotten. And you can go see Fergie at the Cubs convention all weekend. He's also going to be doing a book signing Saturday night at Harry Carey's restaurant in River North, 6 to 8 p.m. And again, the number is 1-844-FERGIE-1. That is 1-844-337-4333-RUN. Or just go to www.1969cubs.com. Fergie, thanks a ton.
Thanks for being here, Fergie.
Guys. Great
to see you. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.